Rock, sport and talk.
This is The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
And we're joined on the line by Tom Gray from Ring Magazine to look back at Tyson Fury against Deontay Wilder. Morning to you, Tom.
Good morning.
One of the great robberies. Just shocking to see the scorecards when you reflect on them this morning. How on earth was Tyson Fury not given the win in this fight?
I don't know. I scored it for him. I scored him by 3 points. I had 8-3-1, and then if you deduct 2 points for the knockdowns, it's still a 3-point shift. And I know people that had it wider, and I encountered about a handful of people that were able to convince themselves that that Deontay Wilder won that fight. But not for me, never. And it's just extremely unfortunate that we're talking about controversy, dodgy scorecards, rather than a great sporting comeback.
Are the judges ever held to account? So there was one Mexican judge who gave the scorecard that people have questioned. Does that come under the microscope in any way now?
It will be up to the... I don't know if those were commission judges or WBC judges. Either way, he should be accountable. There should always be sanctions if someone can't do their job. I mean, if you go on the radio and talk nonsense, then you'd be held to account. If I go on and write even more nonsense on the Ring Magazine website or for the magazine, I wouldn't last very long. So, to be able to just hand in scorecards, and it's really frustrating because people will turn around and say, oh, it's subjective. No, it's subjective to a point. When you are giving Deontay Wilder the first four rounds of that fight, you should be in another line of work. You don't know what you're doing. Right, so just go and do something else. That's the best I can say. And to just turn around and say, "Oh, it's subjective," it makes my skin crawl.
Let's talk about the more heroic aspects of the fight and the iconic moment in the 12th round. So, MJ, you've seen it as well. Deontay with an unbelievably quick piece of hand speed and a left hook that completely floors Tyson Fury. So he's out on the floor, on the canvas, with his arms splayed out to the sides. A lot of refs would have just stopped it there and then. But then you see a man come back from the dead. And that is essentially how it looks, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that was doing the rounds on social media, obviously on Sunday morning after this, was the Undertaker music being dubbed over it and some of the WWE commentary, because it was that sort of thing that, could only be staged. But, it's just remarkable, isn't it? And I think the only thing I could say at that point that makes him get up is just pure boxing instinct. And I think what's also impressive is that after he has got up, and got back to his feet as well, he manages to stay in the fight for the last few minutes of that round, because you're looking at it thinking he's completely gone here. He's landed a big shot. He's already been down before that as well, and you're thinking, can he actually just cling on and get through to the end? So I think in many respects doing that was arguably more impressive than actually getting himself off the floor.
What about for you, Tom? I mean, when a boxer is hit with that ferocity, you expect the legs to have completely gone, don't you?
I'll give you a story on this, and I think this is precisely what happened on Saturday. I spoke to Larry Holmes. It was a face-to-face interview, actually, and it was really funny. But we're talking about Ernie Shavers. If you watch the 1979 rematch, go on to YouTube and look at Larry Holmes against Ernie Shavers, and Holmes is winning the fight handily, and he gets caught with an overhand right, and Shavers is arguably the hardest single puncher in boxing history at any weight. Crazy, crazy power. And Holmes said on impact he was not cold, but the only reason that he managed to get up is when he hit the floor, he woke up. and I think, honestly, I think that is what happened. I think the right hand and left hook, if you look at the way Tyson dissembles, I think he was unconscious out at that point. And when he hit the floor, that woke him up, and then the crowd noise and probably Jack Reese's count. Another great point you made there was a lot of referees would have stopped that. Jack Reese is one of the best officials you'll ever come across. I've been lucky enough to interview him. He is a staunch professional. It would have been so easy with the violence of that knockout, or the knockdown, or knockout. You could call it a knockout. It just so happens that Fury got up before 10. But a lot of referees could have got a fright, and an inexperienced referee could have, his heart could have stopped and just, I'll stop that fight straight away. It's to his benefit and his credit that he didn't, and he obviously made the right call.
Yeah, and then immediately after he's back up, he's dancing around, he's got his hands behind his back.
He's just, I'll tell you what, Tyson won me over before the Klitschko fight. I mean, I never picked him to beat Klitschko because it was in Germany. I just did not see him getting a decision over there, and I thought Klitschko would do a lot better than he did. But Tyson won me over, because he's got the skills, he's got the athleticism, he's long, he's rangy, but he's got fighting guts. He's got real fighting guts. You know, he comes from a traveller background. He's not exactly come up with a silver spoon in his mouth. And it was just another... He knew when he got back to his feet, I'll need to make a good impression. A lot of fighters were doing on the back foot and just tried to see that 12th round out. But he wanted to make an impression on the judges, on the fans, and enhance his reputation. And he done that. It was just a brilliant performance all the way around. And, I need to say, I give Deontay Wilder credit for hanging in there and being able to get that right hand off at the end, because he had every reason to be, you know, just downtrodden, and he was outclassed in the fight. So to find that punch, you need to give Wilder credit for that. But he didn't need a knockdown. He needed to knock him out and staple gun him to the floor, and he couldn't do it.
Tom, as someone who's a lot more of a casual boxing fan than yourself, I find it tough to know what to make of Tyson Fury, because in the past, I think it's well documented, he said some pretty terrible things in regards to homophobia and stuff like that. But the way he's come back and the way he's been in the build-up to this fight and the things he said after this fight in regards to mental health and how he sort of did it for people who've been suffering in that regard, even stuff like getting the entire press conference singing American Pie, you know, and that sort of thing. I mean, what do you think people like me, who are very casual boxing fans, should make of a fella like Tyson Fury now?
He's I wrote recently, he's polarizing. So it's love or hate. There's not much straight down the middle with him. So, you know, he said some things there that people, like you just referenced, that people will never forgive, and I can't blame them for that. I tend to stay on the path of athlete, you know, and fighter. Like, and if someone turns around and says, look, I can't stand Tyson Fury because of the things he said, I can't argue or debate with that. Me personally, yes, there's loads in there that he could have done without. But any time that I've spoken to him, any time that I've met him, he's a very charming fella. And, you know, that's the way I look at it. There's no way with some of the things that he said and went on record as saying that you can expect everyone to forgive that, but he's definitely endeared himself back into the British public conscience overall. I mean, he's went from such a sideshow after the Klitschko fight and all the things he's went through. I mean, talk about the mental health, there's the recreational drugs, there was the performance enhancing drugs, there was all sorts of stuff. I mean, it was linked to. So, you know, to turn not all of it around, he never will, but to turn a large percentage of it around is almost as remarkable an achievement as his performance in the ring.
Is it almost a certainty now there's a rematch and are the cards still very much weighted in Deontay Wilder's favour in terms of where that would be staged because he has the belt?
Well, every time I'm getting asked that, my heart sinks, because, I mean, the normal thing after that, if it was, you know, boxing just at times shoots itself in the foot. There's only one fight to make for both of those guys after that, and it should be a direct rematch. But I don't know. I mean, if I'm...
It's not in the contract, Tom.
No, if there was a... If Fury had won, there was a rematch clause, but it was a draw. And also, there was no rematch clause if Wilder had won. So there's nothing in the contract. But I don't know where Deontay Wilder goes without it. He could... Conceivably, a lot of people are saying he'll go straight in with Anthony Joshua. Not a snowball's chance in hell. You know, not that I can see. The negotiations for that fight are always going to be really rough. Joshua's back out in April, so you'd probably need to make that fight by February. I just can't see that transpiring. I think that Joshua will fight the winner of Derek Chisora and Dillian White, and I think that you should see Fury against Wilder again. But, you know, you could actually see in Deontay's Wilder's face after that. That 12 rounds just didn't go the way he didn't expect to go 12 rounds. So he looked like, you know, he was going to be putting his socks over his shoes for the next few weeks. You know, he was just so baffled in the ring. And does his brain trust what he put him back in there? If you're Lou DiBella and Al Heyman and Mark Breland, his trainer, do you want to put him back in for another 12 rounds of that? Because I'll tell you what, Wilder can't really change anything.
No, do you want to fight? Do you want to fight the man who literally got up when you socked him with your hardest punch? There's that in his head, isn't there?
The shot was actually, you know, those punch machines you get down at the arcades. You know, it was one of them right in the jaw, and then a follow up shot, and he can't do much more than that. So, and he's never going to finesse him. He's never going to outbox him. You know, he's just not technically good enough. I mean, I've not been a an admirer of his technical ability, and people have called me harsh for that. I don't see it. I think he's an explosive, athletic power puncher that can take you clean out. It's no coincidence that he's got, what is it, 39 knockouts on his record. You know, he needs to take you out of there. And I remember Frank Bruno saying, sooner or later, you'll come up, when you're an authentic knockout artist, you'll come up against someone who gets up. And he came across that on Saturday night, and he should be sleeping in his bed with that belt, because he's very lucky to still have it.
Right, very, very quickly, I saw on your social media, Adonis Stevenson obviously suffered an injury. Adonis, who fought Tony Bellew, was called Superman, was it? Probably still is. Is he still in hospital? What's his situation?
I just read it. I read up on it this morning. He's been moved from critical to stable, which can only be good news. But he's obviously suffered some a brain injury there, which is absolutely tragic. I was frozen numb with it, to be quite honest, yesterday morning. But it just highlighted the real dangers of the sport. It really did. I mean, he's got a young child, and you know, he's got a past, like Tyson, in a very different way. Adonis Stevenson's got a past that not a lot of people are very keen on, but he's got a young child, he's got a family, and you know, he's went out there to put on a show for his own for everyone's entertainment, that's it's went horribly, horribly wrong for him.
Tragic stuff. Tom, as always, wonderful to talk with you. Thank you.
No worries, mate. Thank you.
Tom Gray from Ring Magazine. He's always got so much insight.
Wonderful.
Well, absolutely brilliant stuff on the boxing front.
I'll definitely be going on YouTube in that fight, which he mentioned. Rock, sport
and talk. This is The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall. Radio City Talk.